5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk from the RNIB. This is the technology show where we talk tech for the blind and visually impaired. Just like she said, really, that nice woman in the intro. She stole my line. But anyway, I'm Sean Preece. Hello. I'm standing in for Stephen Scott, who isn't quite 100% yet, but he is getting better. I spoke to him this morning and he shouted at me. So he's definitely on the mend and back to his old self. I hope you're doing well in these strange times, and I hope you're ready for an hour of the best tech talk. And of course, for the best tech talk, you need the best tech talkers. Sadly, they weren't available, but with me today, as ever, sorry, old joke, but I couldn't resist, we have Mr. Robin Christofferson. Hello, Robin.
Hello, guys. Hope everyone is keeping well.
And also Andy Wynn. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Robin. Hope you're both doing well.
I am. I'm feeling a lot better. I have shaved my head after our discussion about haircuts last week. I bit the bullet and shaved my head, so I'm feeling a lot better. No. I tell you what, I feel like a new man.
Oh.
I look like an old one, but I feel like a new man.
That's the one way of getting rid of the grey hairs, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly, that's right. So I'm not going to ask how everyone is doing because, as I said, it gets a little bit boring. Not boring, that's the wrong term to use.
Literally, literally nothing has happened since last week.
Yes.
Apart from going to the shops. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's something. I did manage, I really should have a drum roll effect here, because I did manage to get an online delivery slot with my local supermarket. So I know, there is nothing like that now. The whole family is up at midnight. As soon as it comes to midnight, everyone's on. It's like trying to buy concert tickets for, I don't know, some massive band. You know, everyone's on. Refresh. Is there any delivery slots yet? It's so stressful, but yes, I have got one for next week, so hooray, I'm not going to starve.
It's not at like 3 a.m. or something.
A pizza's not still delivering then.
Oh, don't imagine.
If they stop delivering, then we've all got to, you know, really
You're
worry.
Right, but the apps I've really found helpful are, you know, Just Eat, Deliveroo, Uber Eats, or whatever food apps are available in your area. They're really good. I know some people don't like using them. They say there's an extra cost involved because the takeaways and restaurants do need to pay to use these services and they pass it on to the customer. That's not always the case. They don't have to. So, but besides all that, anyway, it's just so convenient. And if you do want to see what new takeaways and restaurants or cafes are delivering, or even you can collect from in your area, it's great. Just open the app up, take a look, and you don't even have to order through that service. You can just contact the store directly if you want to. So yeah, I've got to say, I love those apps. Anyway, okay, let's get into it. So in this week's episode, there's so much news. We've got emails from you. We've got Zoom having an update and hopefully fixing some of the security issues. We've got Apple accessibility sessions. What's going to be new in iOS 14? Well, actually, at the time of recording, we don't actually know, but we're still going to talk about it. That's what we do. But before we get into it, I want to quickly put this out there because last week, you know, I did get very, very excited by the iPhone SE, second generation, of course. So by the time this is on air, it would have been out for a few days. I just want to know, has anyone got one in their hands right now? Robin?
No.
Disappointing? Let down? Okay. Andy?
No.
Andy's got a flagship Android phone. He's sorted.
Yeah. I'm on the Huawei.
He's on the wild side.
Supporting the Chinese government, apparently.
Agent Andy.
I'm quite surprised by you, Robin, I'll be honest, because, you know, look, we went through the gorgeousness that is the iPhone SE last week, so what's the problem? Get ordering.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, give me the money, you know, PayPal, please. there's definitely an iPhone SE in my future. As soon as I can persuade my wife to take my 8, because her 6S is dying and she hasn't got a home button anymore. So, but she, you know, she's muddling on with the little home button icon that you can put on your screen.
Oh, so, that's so disappointing. No, forget it. I thought everyone would have a brand spanking new iPhone this week. And no, forget it. Okay, forget that one then. That's the SE done with. Robin. Robin, there is something I know you wanted to talk about. Well, you wanted to talk about it last week, but I wouldn't let you. And that's Be My Eyes. I love Be My Eyes.
Well, just to keep the, you know, high octane pace and energy of the show so far, I wanted to talk about a very exciting Be My Eyes Microsoft support call that I had the other day. So it's 7 years, guys. Last month, 7 year anniversary of the disability answer desk that Microsoft has.
Oh, really, well, come useful. On. Round of applause, surely. 7 years. Yep. Well done, Microsoft.
Yeah, really good. And we know that you can get it through Be My Eyes. And they were just brilliant. My computer has stopped talking to me. There weren't any other eyes around the house at that time. Open Be My Eyes, went to the specialist help section. And as we know, or hopefully you guys know, Microsoft is one of the organizations in there where whose experts are waiting, ready and waiting to help you out with a pair of eyes. Now, I actually didn't know this, and you guys might have done.
Of course we did.
If you start, okay, good. Well, what was it then?
Carry on.
Okay, I'll tell you. If you start a Be My Eyes call, I thought that would be the kind of be all and end all of it because, you know, they can kind of help you by looking at the screen through the camera, etc. But no, what they do, if they, you know, think you need some technical help, is they will ask you to hit run. And we can do that eyes free, can't we, with, you know, Windows key and R. Yeah. And type in MSDT, which I can't remember what it stands for, something like Microsoft Remote Desktop. Something beginning with T, and I don't know, but anyway, she did say it at the time, and I thought I've got to remember that, but I didn't make a note of it. But well, it's MSDT, enter, then they're in and they can control your computer, and I could just sit back. And she took over. We kept the call open so that we were talking to each other all the time. I just laid the phone flat on the desk, so you know the camera was facing down at the table, because it was just like an audio call from then on. And she was just taking over my computer and she sorted it out, and it was sweet. It was amazing. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It was brilliant, really, really good. So Be My Eyes came to the rescue again. I do use that from time to time quite often. And, you know, I had no idea that it could escalate to something really practical like that as well. And we should also talk about the RNIB integration, shouldn't we, with Be My Eyes?
Of course we should. Yes.
So
go on.
Okay. What happened was, last week, RNIB and Galloway's, these two organizations have popped up in Be My Eyes under the specialist help. So you can now, you know, contact the RNIB directly, and their volunteers are there, or their kind of expert assistants are there to help you via the Be My Eyes app. Not 100% sure what you'd ask about, but give it a go. You know, anything vision related, maybe about, I don't think it's just about the RNIB's services, but yeah, have a look at that. I'm sure there's stuff on the internet about exactly what that's offering, but I just saw that pop up and I thought that was brilliant. Now, what's slightly funny is that when you tap on specialist help, then they have different headings in there, like technical support and stuff like that. And under the information was Galloway's, under the heading information. And then under the heading other was first Clear Blue, which is the pregnancy testing one. And then under that, RNIB. So they decided to put them in the category of pregnancy testing rather than the next to Galloway's, well, which is the other.
The RNIB are a very helpful organisation. Who knows what they could help you with, but we won't go there.
That might give us an indication.
Maybe we should just quickly go back to basics and just, for people that don't know, explain what Be My Eyes is. So this is an app for iOS and Android, and basically it connects you to a volunteer who will be able to, using the camera on your phone, be able to see whatever you're pointing the phone at, and they can give you assistance on whatever that is. So it's a lot like the IRA service, if people know that. Not that that's really available here, but it's all based on volunteers. So when you sign up as a volunteer or a user. And yeah, I've got to say, it works really well. The app is really simple and easy to use. And as Robin has just told us that they do have the specialist help section, which gets you through directly to customer support or whatever organization you want. So yeah, having this sort of access to organizations like the RNIB, Galloway's, Microsoft and whoever is great. And when it comes to Microsoft, I used it recently when my product key for Windows 10 wasn't working. And just like you, Robin, they took over my computer 2 seconds and it was all done and working. I mean, what more do you need? So that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Just to say here then, because we did cover Galloway's a couple of weeks ago on the show when they released their Echo skill, that they're now the first localized sight loss charity to be partnered up with Be My Eyes. And they're going to be joining such companies, as Robin said, Google, Microsoft, Lloyd's are in there as well, P&G, and also us, the RNIB, are in there as well. So yes, they can help you with all sorts of things around independent living, problem solving, product support, technology support, and also things like signposting as well to help you get around. So yes, along with their Echo skill, or their Lady A skill, should we say, they're also now on Be My Eyes. And that's for help.
Well done.
That's also, I just want to point out, that's help for people across Lancashire and Sefton. So your neck of the woods, Sean.
That's me.
Yes, that's you.
I will give you a call. Thank you. And just to clear up, when you say we're on there, you don't mean me.
No.
Or Robin, or yourself.
Not
Andy.
Yet. Yeah, maybe in the future.
Yeah, who knows? No, we'll see how this goes.
The royal we being the royal NIB. Yeah, yes.
I'll only ever be on the other end asking for help.
Anyway, yeah, definitely check Be My Eyes out. It is a fantastic service and I love that app. Okay, let's move on. So, Robin, it's over to you and another Echo skill. Now, last week we talked about keeping physically fit, which nearly killed me. But this week we're talking about, is it more mental health and relaxing?
Absolutely. It's a very stressful time, or it can be for many of us. So we're going to look at another Echo skill. This one's called Headspace, and it's really, really good. There's a wide range of meditations just to help us focus, you know, sleep better, be less anxious. And it's called Headspace, and that's how you open it. Alexa, open Headspace.
It looks like it's been a while since you've gotten some Headspace. Would you like to go through the tutorial again?
Yes.
Some days, meditation will feel easy. On others, it might feel difficult. The trick is to gently stay with it each time, no matter how it feels. So look for a place in your routine where this exercise can slot in easily. Research shows it's easier to create a new habit when we do it at about the same time each day. I recommend doing it first thing in the morning, but you might need to be flexible. For now, find somewhere you won't be disturbed. Don't worry too much about background noise. I'll explain how to deal with that. It might be easier at first if you have some peace and quiet, though. Make sure you're sitting comfortably before you start. Unless you're used to sitting cross-legged on the floor, I'd recommend using an upright chair. Sit with your legs and arms uncrossed, feet flat on the floor, and hands just resting in the lap or on your legs. And try to keep your back straight too, but not too tense. Sometimes putting a small cushion or a rolled up towel behind your lower back can help. And that's it. You're now ready to get some Headspace.
Now that you're ready to meditate, let's get started. Would you like to begin today's meditation?
Help.
You can always ask for today's meditation, a sleep exercise, or sleep sounds. Keep in mind, if you connect a Headspace account, you can access more meditations by saving them on the Headspace app. Would you like to begin today's meditation?
Yes.
Everyone wants to be happy, even those who hurt us. Realizing this does not negate their actions, but it helps us to create the conditions for understanding and forgiveness. So very often in life, if somebody else does something that hurts us in some way, ironically, they will often let go of it quite quickly themselves, while we tend to carry it around in our mind for a very long time, thinking about it, not only feeling hurt by it, but perhaps feeling a sense of hostility towards that.
Stop. Man, he has the right voice for this, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he? Thank you, Robin. Now, I've got to say, and I've said this before, but you know, I always look at this sort of thing as slightly the realm of the hippie. I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm an old man and that's how I always saw this stuff until I got an Apple Watch and tried the, okay, it's time to breathe. And it really makes a difference. Just taking that time out from whatever you're doing, just making that time and doing whatever you need to do does make a difference. So, yeah, I do think this sounds good.
I do too. I've never really tried, well, I've tried meditation for like 30 seconds and then my mind wandered and I just, but I probably don't feel like I need it because I feel good most of the time. So, you know, that's, but...
I know sickingly that... healthy person, aren't you, Robin?
Health, clean living, clean spirit, mind, body. Anyway, but yeah, I think it is really, really important. Give it a go, guys. He is a professional. These are very, you know, this is the real deal. So give it a go. If you don't want to kind of have the rest of the family involved, then if you've got some Bluetooth headphones or something, obviously you compare those to your Echo, and obviously there's things like Calm on the iPhone, so you could listen to those in bed.
Oh, Stephen loves that Calm app. He's constantly going on about it. He really loves it, and that's a paid app. That's a subscription, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, is it calm.com, the website for it, and people could go and read up on that if they wanted to. But yeah, that's
where they also have a free trial as well. So if you're really keen on that, you can go and try it for free for a couple of days, I think.
Yeah, but they do offer, I mean, the reason it is a paid service is that you will get, you know, celebrities reading you short stories and that, and it's a really high quality. So it's definitely something to look at if you're looking for a way to relax, I guess, during these stressful times.
Maybe he's on it. Maybe that's what Stephen's been doing the last couple of weeks.
Perhaps he's so calm, he just can't get out of bed. Perhaps that is the thing.
He's got the voice for it.
Yeah, absolutely. War and Peace, read by Stephen Scott. That'll send you to sleep, won't it?
Anyway, something that won't send you to sleep. Oh, what a segue. I'm getting good at this. Oh. It's time for the news. Here's the jingle.
News from the internet.
Oh, the old modem. The old modem in the background.
I know. Doesn't it take you back? Ah, oh, I used to love dial-up modems. Anyway.
Speaking of taking you back.
That was perfect. Okay, yes. This is another blast from the past, and I am so happy about this. I used to love this, but the Apple TV Plus streaming service is bringing back, or has brought back, Fraggle Rock. Now, I've got to find the theme. Hang on, I will find the theme. Here we go.
I loved that show.
I loved Fraggle Rock. It was amazing. So why have they brought this back, and why didn't they do it sooner, Robin?
Okay, I insisted on putting this one top of the news.
You did.
Items here, guys. There's so much to love about this item. For anyone that has watched Fraggle Rock, hopefully they will absolutely love it. It was by Jim Henson and the guys, the Muppet guys, a bunch of strange-looking creatures who live under a lighthouse in very permeous rock, lots of caves and caverns and tunnels and things, and they just have lots of fun and adventures. And that was from the 80s, and now it's back in Apple TV, you know, TV Plus. So anyone that's got a subscription, each week they're going to drop a new 3-5 minute, what do they call it? Fraggle Rock, Rock On. And it's, there's so much to like about this. It's filmed on iPhones, iPhone 11. It's filmed in a number of locations because everyone's isolated. So I just, the premise is that these Fraggles are also in social isolation. So they're each in a separate cave, not together. But the doozers, those little tiny creatures with hard hats on that build things,
yes.
They, at the beginning of the first one that came out this week, they push what they call a doozer tube into each of these caverns. And the Fraggle that's
Robin,
in each cavern...
Robin, there's far too much detail here.
No,
you're
it's
far
good.
Too
just
into
listen,
this.
Listen, just go with it. They talk into these tubes and they can talk to each other. So that's the premise of it.
Yes.
And they are in, they're kind of having to do remote, you know, connection, and they're just talking to each other and having fun. And of course, they break into song as well. But so the thing I love about it is that these people have had to make, you know, like a paper mache cave or something in their living room. You can imagine the wife saying, or the husband, depending on who's, you know, the person that's doing the filming.
Well done.
Thank you. Where's our living room? You know, are we not going to have a living room for the next 6 months because you've built a cave? You know, and they've had to, you know, do all the puppetry and stuff like that. And, oh, it's just so brilliant. So, yeah, it's shot on iPhone 11s. Very short. Go and listen to them or watch it, and every week a new one will drop. So anyone who loves Fraggle Rock, you gotta go and check these out if you possibly can. They're really good.
I definitely have. I mean, I've got a Apple TV Plus subscription. When I got my iPhone 11, you get a free subscription for a year. So anyone that has pre-ordered the iPhone SE, I can't leave that alone, sorry. Anyone who has ordered it will get a year's free subscription to Apple TV Plus. And I'm going to take a guess here that it does have audio description, Robin.
Absolutely, it does.
Hey! Yeah,
it
does. There's a couple of other series involved as well, apparently. They're also going to be doing something on Peanuts. So it's going to be Snoopy
terrible.
In space. And also Ghost Rider, apparently.
Oh, forget it. No.
Oh, dear. It's not
for me.
No, Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie Brown
Classic.
Christmas is amazing. Yeah, come on.
Classic. Yeah, that's right.
No, it's not for me. It's too
I
American.
Actually stood you there. That's amazing.
You've watched too much of it. Anyway, yeah, Apple TV Plus is great. And the audio description, I think everything is audio described. And not just in English. I think there's like 8 languages per show, isn't there?
That's correct, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's available in lots of different languages.
There's only about 5 shows on there, but, you know, that's beside the point. It is growing, and if you're into Fraggle Rock, give it a look. Anyway, let's move on to Zoom. Now, Zoom, the cloud meeting app, the app that everyone has been using to connect over the lockdown period, has been in the news so much. Firstly, it was, have you heard of this app Zoom? It's amazing. We can talk to each other. And then it was, oh no, the security is terrible. No one use it. And they're struggling to claw back their reputation from that. But they are working hard on it. And they have just released a update, Zoom 5.0, I think.
Pass. But yes, there is an update.
Yes, it is.
In fact, yeah, thank you. And they have almost entirely addressed the issues that they have been having. Now, you know, they before Christmas, they had 20 million daily customers, and now they've got 300 million. So,
wow.
You know, that is, and it was a very kind of informal, you know, peer-to-peer thing before, and they've just had to massively scale it up. And it's just really exposed a lot of the flaws in the original code, and, you know, they were doing things that were had convenience over security and stuff like that. So they've just had to up their game, and I think they're pretty much there. There's one thing I found out about a Zoom meeting this week, and it's the same on both Mac and Windows, actually. If you're in a meeting and you are wondering where the details of all the participants are, if you tab around in Windows or VO right arrow, for example, around in the Mac client, then there's one place where it doesn't say anything at all. It's like a nothing kind of a thing you land on.
Right.
If you interact with that on the Mac, or if you hit spacebar on Windows, that's where all the participants and all of the details of about them and all the controls to message them or mute them or whatever are hiding. So I thought I'd throw that in there as well. It's like an invisible
It's invisible
area.
To us.
Yeah.
Well, I know there is, if you go into the Zoom settings, there is an option, it may be under accessibility, but I'm not entirely sure because it's been a while since I've been in there. But there was an option to make the controls always visible. And I always found that by default, and this may have changed since the update, I haven't used it yet, but it was that you had to press the Alt key, which would, you know, instead of bringing up a menu bar at the top, it would bring up all the options such as settings, mute, and things like that at the bottom. And in
for
there
the
was
presenter,
a
yeah,
and one of those was the participants button. Press that, and you've get a extra sidebar. So, yeah, there are a few things you can do. It's always worth going through the settings on any of these apps just to see what's there, particularly if they do have an accessibility section.
Are we allowed to talk about Star Wars wallpapers?
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, you see, now, last week I let it go when you wanted to talk about, what was it? What did you talk about last week?
HP.
Harry Potter,
it,
yeah.
No, it wasn't Harry Potter. It was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the 42nd anniversary. The week
you wouldn't
before,
have been allowed back on if you had.
That's true. Last, the week before, it was Harry Potter, where you went on for about 30 minutes on how much you loved it. So now we've got to talk about Star Wars again. So go on, I'll let you have it, but you've got 30 seconds.
Okay, set the timer. Guys, you can now get... You can now present your next Zoom meeting or participate in your next Zoom meeting from the Death Star or a number of other Star Wars. Is it only me that likes Star Wars then? But anyway, so we all know that you can set any background to a Zoom meeting. You can even have a video in the background. And if you search for, iMore have done this article, if you want to search for Star Wars Zoom wallpaper iMore, or probably just Star Wars Zoom, you'll get it. There's a whole bunch of really cool images. And the good thing about them are is that it's kind of, it's got a lot of depth to them. So, you know, you don't want something that's really quite flat. So it'll look like there's a lot of stuff going on behind you and you'll be in perspective with it. So they've kind of chosen them well. So if you want to, and then you can just choose that, and it does clever stuff with masking out your real background, your living room or bedroom or whatever it is you're zooming from.
Shed.
And you might occasionally lose an ear or a lock of hair or something as the software gets a little bit confused. But yeah, you'll be in the Death Star or on Tatooine or whatever. So
that sounds amazing for people who can't see the background and never use the video aspect of Zoom anyway. But no, that sounds amazing, Robin. Thank you.
That's all right. You're welcome.
No, I'm joking, of course. It's nice, actually. That is a feature of Zoom. You can choose a virtual background. It's your very own green screen, you know. You never thought a man could fly or whatever it is. It is actually pretty cool. Although, as I said, I don't use it.
Yeah, well, you know, we have social media avatars, don't we? Even though we can't see them. You don't want to be an egg in Twitter.
And why not? That's my body shape. Don't body shame me. Andy,
yes.
You're a sighty, so yeah. Tell me, do you use the virtual backgrounds?
No, I mean, most of my Zoom meetings are with the camera off. The camera would involve, because I don't have a webcam, I would need to set up the Pixelbook with it as well, and that's just a hassle. So, yeah, if you see me on video, it's probably because I'm using the Pixelbook. I will say, though, I have enjoyed the memes and funny videos that have come during this time of people trying out Zoom for the first time, forgetting maybe that they're on webcam and, you know, I'm just taking you to the toilet now and you're not realising the camera's still on and people sitting there and doing all sorts of...
You say funny videos, but I see them as humiliation videos.
Humiliation, I mean, and cringeworthy, yes. Yeah, there's only so many times you can see people not realising the camera's on and they're picking their nose or, you know, scratching, getting up and realising they've still got their pyjama bottoms on. And it's amusing, yeah, but yeah, very cringe.
That's best case scenario. Anyway, thankfully we're on the radio. Yeah. Okay, now this actually is a big story, and it's the Apple accessibility sessions. Now, this is all to do with the run-up to WWDC in June. Has there been a date confirmed for WWDC this year?
I think if there has been,
I don't.
It may have been postponed by now. You know,
well yes, I mean,
I think there must have been, because they've announced that it's going to be online, and I don't think they'd announce anything about it if they didn't announce everything about it, you know, i.e. the date and stuff as well. So, gosh, we're not very well prepared. But yeah, it's definitely online because they've announced that. And on the 23rd of April, they did a very extensive live event with lots of breakout rooms, sessions, etc. Lots of kind of one-to-ones with Apple iOS developers, all around accessibility. And we're hoping to see from these developers articles written any day now as a result of these sessions, sort of spilling the beans, unless they've all had to sign NDAs, of course, non-disclosure agreements to say they won't tell the world what new accessibility features they've been introduced to that will come out in iOS 13. So
14,
that's what,
sorry.
14. Dear idea. So that's what the sessions were all about. So that probably means that there is something new that's going to be in iOS 14, surely, from an accessibility point of view.
Oh, let's get excited about this. Yes, look, accessibility sessions, these are the first sessions of, this year, really, when it comes to what's going to be coming to iOS 14. Now, sadly, I don't know what those are yet. I'm going to give the game away a little bit and say that we are recording this show a little bit earlier than we normally would, just because of scheduling and things like that. So I don't actually know what's come out. I don't know if there's any standout features that we should be really excited about when it comes to the new version of iOS, iOS 14. I haven't heard of anything, but we will wait and see. But the whole point is that this really is a test bed to see how this is going to work, how WWDC and the sessions they have with that, with developers, how is this going to work when you're not actually doing it in real life? This is all online, and this is the first time Apple have done this. And of course, if anyone's got the resources to do it, it's going to be Apple, isn't it? I think this is going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has to have some oomph behind it. And if all of the people that would normally put a very choreographed, slick, stage-based demo on for an event like WWDC, if none of them can get together physically, then how are they going to do it? What will that look like? So yeah, that'll be really interesting to see. And that's definitely what this has been, a kind of a dry run for the bigger event in June. So yeah, but I don't necessarily think that anyone's going to tell us in advance about what the accessibility features are.
Sometimes they don't publicize it, but if you go back over previous years when it comes to WWDC and you look at the accessibility sessions,
they will after WWDC, but I'm wondering for after the event this week. So yeah, don't know.
Yeah,
they might
I don't
be.
See why it would be under NDA if it's an accessibility feature, but yeah, maybe. But also,
well, Sean, yes, you and I, Sean, covered it last year live, and they were very lacking in any kind of accessibility news during the actual events. It was always after that it happens.
That's the case of the WWDC keynote anyway. There's very rarely we get so excited when they do mention accessibility. Yeah. I remember when Siri was announced and they played the trailer, and it was a blind or visually impaired woman talking to Siri to send a text, and it was mentioned. It's almost like getting a name check, you know. It's we're in it.
They covered voice control last WWDC keynote as well, but yeah, the week after that, you know, that's on the Monday, and then the rest of the week, all of those sessions, a lot of those will be around accessibility, and we do get to hear about those. So yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Interesting time, so keep an ear out, keep checking the blogs, and keep checking, of course, Tech Talk, because we will bring you any of those new features as soon as we know about them. Okay, what's next in the news? Hang on one second. Oh, sticking with Apple, but this is a good one. I really like this, and I think this is a fantastic idea. Someone has brought up the question to Apple of, well, you provide discounts for students and veterans. What about discounts for disabled people? It's a valid question, I think. Robin, you got some more on this one?
There's an iMore article if people want to Google it. But yeah, I mean, that's it in a nutshell, really. It's just a commentary piece saying, what do you think, guys? You know, let's put that out there, that call out there, because veterans, absolutely, they, you know, deserve all that they can get having fought for their country. Students, you know, let's cut them a break. They're poor. But yeah, people with disabilities, particularly as the technology can often be the stepping stone to life opportunities, you know, whether
Absolutely.
It's education, employment, it's just so core to our daily lives. Now, you could say, well, we get benefits, you know, isn't that supposed to cover the additional costs of having a disability, you know, taxis and that
Sometimes.
Sort of thing. But yeah. But what do you think? I mean,
I think, like I said in the intro, I do think it's a valid question. I am slightly wary about any of this because it almost gives that impression. Oh, we're entitled, you know, playing the blind card. I'm blind, give me things. And that's something we got to be conscious about, you know. But in this case, no. I think if students are eligible for a discount, veterans, obviously. But when you look at students as a demographic, it is all about, well, they're on a fixed income or a low income, and you know, this technology really can help them. And I think we definitely fall under that bracket. As you said, technology can really make a difference to everything we do daily. And you know, even if we don't take work or employment into that, which I know is incredibly important, but the truth of the matter is, you know, there's a very high unemployment rate amongst the visually impaired community, and technology, even if you're not using it for work, really does help us from day-to-day tasks. So, yeah, I honestly think I would like to see Apple's response on this. Now, I wouldn't hold their feet to the fire and say, why can't we? But I think it's something that I would like to see their response on.
Yeah, and we know that they discount with bulk sales to, you know, a particular education authority, federal government, all that sort of thing. So, you know, they do discount when they have bulk purchases by a particular organization or authority or whatever. We know that their profit margins are massive compared to every other tech manufacturer. So there is some definite leeway there. So there's a precedent and there's an ability for them to do that if they so wished. But also maybe government, you know, what about VAT? There's no VAT on specialist tech. So what about no VAT on mainstream tech bought by people with disabilities?
Well, that's an argument that's been going on for a long time. And I definitely think we should fall under that VAT exempt bracket when it comes to something like a smartphone or whatever the technology is, just because it's not in the genre of specialist tech. You know, now that accessibility has become more mainstream, the mainstream tech is now could be classed as specialized, you know, so it's really difficult. But definitely, that's an argument that we could keep going on and on about. And we probably will.
Sean, can I just jump in with a quick news piece, please?
Of course you can.
Thank you. I'd like to talk about Dark Sky.
Oh, no, I've changed my mind. That's a weather app, isn't it?
It's a weather app. Now, yes, some people would probably think...
boring. Okay, come on. Yeah, Mr. this Britain, is not important. Talking about weather.
Don't rain on his parade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oof, well look done. At that. I'm going to shut
puns
up.
Galore. the news on this is that Dark Sky, which is a hyperlocal weather app, which I've been using on my Android device for the last couple of years. Subscription, yes, but it's very, very good. They've joined Apple as of a couple of weeks ago. Now, you'd say this was good news, so people with Apple devices are going to get more accurate weather, especially as we're into spring now and very close to summer, so you'll find your things like hay fever and air pressure and all that kind of good stuff, as well as your temperatures. But this is bad news for anyone with an Android device and a Wear OS app, because they're taking it off the stores.
Oh, no. It's dreadful news. Taking it away from Android users? Oh.
They have, yes. So, yeah, it's been a widget on my Android phone for the last couple of years, but I got an update the other day that said, yep, they're not going to be available for download going forward. Anyone who is an existing user or a subscriber will continue until July the 1st, and then the apps and the widgets and everything else with them will be shut down and refunds will be given. So they're going fully into iOS.
Refund?
So your weather app... Yeah, refunds. That's okay. Yeah, I'm only paying, what is it, £3 a year maybe for a subscription?
For the weather!
So yes, for the weather. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, but yeah, anyone using an Apple device going forward, your weather and your local area weather, which is the more specific, you know, the hyper-local weather, will be far more accurate going forward. They're a fantastic company, but I'm really disappointed that it's been taken off of Android.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy. I'm really choked anyway, for you. I mean, how will you get your weather now? There's so few weather apps out there.
This is the thing. If anyone can recommend, because I've tried the Met Office app and I thought that wasn't very good at all. Sorry to anyone listening from Met Office. If anyone can recommend a good weather app that they use that's still available on Android, please let me know. And please don't say stick your head out the window.
One called Weather Gods, which is my absolute favourite. It's on iOS. I don't know if it's on Android, so apology if it is for plugging yet another one
Apple
you can't
fanboy.
Use. But Weather Gods is brilliant. Well, who knows? Maybe it's on both, but it's superb. I'm just excited because the weather via the iPhone, you know, Siri or the weather app is poor. It's really
is
poor.
It,
and they get
is it, though? Right, okay.
It's I was.
Poor. I can't stay silent any longer. I'm so sorry. I know I'm a guest here, but...
Why would they have bought Dark Sky otherwise?
Well, because don't you just need to know, okay, whatever voice assistant, what's the weather like today? Either rainy, snowy, sunny, or windy, or a mixture of those. That's it. What else do you need?
So, if you have Weather Gods, which I think is provided by the same back end as Dark Sky, or can't remember the other one, but Dark Sky itself app, then it says you get a little chime and it says it will start raining in 11 minutes and it will finish in 42 minutes.
Yep,
that
no
is
way.
Useful.
And it was very, very
accurate. Useful.
Yeah.
But the weather.com, which is what the iPhone is driven by, apparently is really good in America. It's really accurate in America. But over here, it's poor. So I'm hoping that this is going to help them up their game, because they're being, outclassed by third-party apps, and that's not a good look.
Well, I totally take it back. I mean, that is impressive if it's going to rain in 11 minutes.
And it's very accurate as well. It will do it in 11 minutes, and it will stop in 42. It's
so that's what hyper-local means, because that was local. This seemed a little bit of a gimmick tagline, but hyper-local seems right.
Yep, and there is on the Echo a skill called Big Sky, and it's yet to be seen whether, because that uses the Dark Sky APIs as well, whether that's going to be pulled or whatever, but that has exactly the same accuracy as well.
They're saying that they're going to continue the API function all the way through until the end of 2021, so you'll see that app stick around for quite a while, yeah.
Cool, and I like the way you said that Dark Skies has joined Apple rather than Apple saw them and said, we want that, yeah, and just bought them. So
they're good. Let's buy them.
Yes,
that's their own words, by the way. I was reading the press release on their website.
Of course,
Dark
that's
Sky
their words.
Has joined Apple. Not they had a whole chunk of money thrown at them.
Who can blame them? Let's be honest.
Take them off Android immediately. Yes, yeah, certainly. Yeah. Ooh, look at the size of this check.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the weather. We've reached a whole new low. Let's bring it back up again. It's time for your emails.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Bing bong.
Here's your mail today.
Bing bong indeed. Yes, it's time for your emails. Thank you as ever for contacting us. And if you do want to get in contact with us, Andy, the email address?
techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And guess what? That will come through to me right now, not Stephen. Stephen's away.
Oh, that's beautiful. You do that so well.
Yes.
Anyway, what's the first email?
So this first one is from Richard. He says, there's a really cheap way to make either the simplest or the most sophisticated microwaves accessible. Choose one with a touch screen, and it will typically have no more than 6 or 7 controls to use, even a microwave with a grill and fan assisted oven. Richard goes on to say that his wife, who's partially sighted, found it very easy to mark the controls on the screen with Tactomark from RNIB. Have either of you used Tactomark before?
I haven't.
Nope. I love this though. Carry on.
It's a liquid, apparently, which, when it dries, it can be used to identify the controls on the oven. Then you can decide what the markings would suit you best. For example, Richard says, you might want to have something like the 4 dots on the £10 note, or if you're a Braillist, perhaps even the initial Braille letter as a hint to remind you of the function of the control. And typically, these microwaves will beep when a control is pressed, so you should know what you've done or what you've pushed. There is always a cancel option if you get stuck. So just check that the controls sound when pressed and you're away. We found that the Panasonic microwaves have worked well for others. Other microwaves are available. All the best. That's from Richard. What do you think of that, guys?
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yeah, that's fantastic. I don't know. I've always looked for... There was a time when I always looked for the older style dial, clicky dial microwave. Mm-hmm. But now I don't... To be honest, the way that I cook in general is just find the quick start 1 minute button, tap that a couple of times and chuck in a ready meal. So
Bung in and nuke it, I think is the phrase, is it not?
Exactly right. That's how I roll. So I haven't really bothered with trying to make things accessible, the microwave accessible, but that's a really good idea. If you actually, if you buy one with a grill or a combination oven or whatever it is, then actually that's a fantastic tip.
Absolutely. If it's like a flat touch interface where behind each one is a kind of a single use button, definitely this would work. If there's any kind of menus or pressing one button here changes a row of buttons down there, then obviously, that's going to fall apart. So you'd need to think carefully before you bought a particular model. But I really like, it's not a sexy enough solution for me, I'm afraid. It has to, if it don't talk or via the A-Lady, then I'm not interested. But it's simple. It, won't crash or anything.
It works, no Robin. Setting. What more do you want?
I know,
we
brilliant.
Can't all be sexy.
That, what's it called? Tactimark? Let's stick it everywhere. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Tactimark the world. Thanks again, Richard. Just sticking on this for a minute. I'm looking for, I'm using Tech Talk for my own purposes, I'm looking for a, what do they call them, a crock pot or a smart pot. I did buy one from JML, JML Quick Power Pot, not accessible. It does beep, but there's a menu system on there. Now, I know there's something that you can buy in America where it's got a companion app and you can control it by using an app on your phone. And that's what I'm looking for over here in the UK. Does anyone have any idea? Has anyone got any tips? Can they give me any recommendations? I'm assuming, Robin, Andy, you don't know of anything.
I know they exist, but yeah, I don't know if they're accessible.
My slow cooker that I have in
slow
my
cooker,
kitchen
that's the word. Is, yes, thank you.
Is that the word you're looking for? Now, mine, I'd need to go and have a look to see what brand it is. But the dial on the front of it is just off, high, medium, and
yes.
low. So that's all the settings that you. Once it's turned on and it's turned to one of those settings, it's either going to cook something and you'll be ready in 2 hours, 4 hours, or anything after that. So
next week.
Yeah, 2021, yeah.
Now, that's great. And I did have one of those. It finally gave up the ghost. But I was looking for, like, this one. You can do pressure cooking. You can do all different types of things with it, steaming. And that's the sort of thing I was looking for. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off topic. But again, thank you, Richard. Let's move on. We're running out of time for the next email, Andy.
Hi guys, says Neil. I've just taken early retirement, and without my work's IT support, I'm trying to get to grips with an updated system of Windows 10 and JAWS 2020. But one issue is the number pad on my laptop seems to be turned on by default, meaning I have to turn it off every time that I use it, and I often forget and I go to use a JAWS keystroke when it inserts a number. So how can I turn it off if I don't have to do this every time? Neil goes on to say, I'm new to your podcast and I must admit I'm finding it very useful and informative. It's funny, I thought I was fairly IT literate, he says, but now I'm left on my own. I'm starting to realise just how much I relied on IT support at work. Well, I guess they'll be delighted that I've left. That's from Neil.
Thank you, Neil. Robin, I know you know the answer to this one.
So you can mess about in the BIOS, but that's never a good idea.
Oh, that was my answer. You've stolen it. Oh, now
sorry.
I've got nothing.
But if you go into the JAWS Settings Center, that's Insert 6, and then make sure in the default settings. If you're not, then do Control-Shift-D. And then in the text box you find yourself in, if you search for NumLock and arrow down, you want something which is called Initial State of NumLock Key. And if you hit spacebar on that, you will be able to toggle it to insert, to be an insert key rather than a numlock. And that's save it and you're done.
Oh, well done, Robin. Well done. That was perfect. Yeah, I was going to say that usually in your computer's BIOS, you have an option for the initial state of the numlock key. But of course, BIOSes are never ever accessible. It drives me crazy, so you will need sighted assistance for that. But of course, if you're using JAWS, Robin's giving you the answer. Well done, Robin.
No probs. He said he was using JAWS, I think, wasn't he?
He is, yes.
Yeah. That's JAWS 2020.
Yeah. Sorry, yes, I did that. I made you nervous for a second. No, you were quite right. Okay, Andy, next one.
This is a quick one from Julian. This isn't tech-related, but he says, thanks for reading out my email about RNIB reading services back on episode 319. I was mistakenly attributed to being from Sally. My fault, ooh, I fear, for using an email account that I share with my wife. I hadn't realised that although her name isn't the address, it still shows up. I'm playing the blind card on this one, he says. I guess the confusion is that we didn't read out my sign-off. It must have seemed nonsensical to keep on tech-talking. Yeah, that is definitely an email from Julian, not from Sally, his wife. But he does say, P.S., my fully sighted wife was nonetheless thrilled to hear her name read out on tech-talk.
I mean, when you're married, you are as one,
yeah,
really, aren't you?
So, yeah, there's no difference. Well, no. Hello, Sally, and hello, Julian, and thanks for the email. That was Andy's fault then. Andy, that's on you, is it?
No, that's actually Stephen.
Oh, well, of course. While he's not here, it was his fault.
Yeah, he can't defend himself, that's fine.
He's still unwell, you know.
Yeah, let's put it down to that.
Okay, yes. Okay, next email.
Hi guys, thanks for a great show and some excellent information referring to your feature on keyboards for iPhones. Just letting you know that there is a shortcut key for toggling on and off the first letter navigation on the internet using your keyboard. Just press VO plus Q, and then when you're on the internet, just press H for headings, just like you would using a Mac. Cheers, that's from Alan.
Alan, Oh, wow, that's really good. I did not know that. And that's something I use all the time. Of course, on the computer, I use NVDA as my main screen reader. And, you know, I can't survive without using those quick navigation first letter keys. So that's really interesting. Did you know that, Robin?
Yes, but I...
Oh, of course you did.
I'd forgotten. Because I've been toggling it with QuickNav, but absolutely, that rings a huge bell. And in fact, I was looking through the iOS keyboard commands section the other day, and it's in there as well. One thing that's really weird in iOS, under the voiceover and then the keyboard commands, nowhere on that page does it mention that you have to use VO, you know, control option, with all of them. It just says... you know, Q, for example, for toggling first letter navigation on a web page. It doesn't say VO. That none of them say. Oh. They're all with VO as
well.
Is that
anything to do with
top tip there?
If you've got quick nav mode on or off?
Perhaps, because if it's on, then the VO doesn't count. Absolutely, that's a good point. But you'd think that they would hint at it at least, because none of them, literally none of them work.
No, they keep you guessing.
Yeah, they're very minimalist,
aren't they? How do you find the Bluetooth, using a physical... Bluetooth keyboard with iOS? I still struggle. I find it slightly clunky still.
It's definitely not a laptop experience or a desktop experience. So for bunging in text really quickly, for being able to kind of, you know, in an equivalent of right swiping through things, for doing the hotkeys to go back to the home screen, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where you need to do it in combination with tapping, roaming, you know, all the usual stuff on your screen. I'm still not great at putting text in on the screen, and I don't use Braille key input.
Oh,
so
you should be ashamed of yourself,
yeah, I know,
Robin.
I know, guys. So, you know, I would have a Bluetooth keyboard. I think it's a great combo, but you cannot drive it all from the keyboard.
Yeah, but...
You know, simple things like hitting escape to close something doesn't work. You know, really intuitive things that do work
let me stop you there, Robin. You're saying that should work. But, of course, we're all coming from a Windows user experience here, the desktop, Windows desktop. If you're a Mac user, maybe this stuff is almost second nature. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree. But a pop-up does the scrub, for example... You don't have to do Command W to close a window. If there's a pop-up, you have to use the scrub. And I would want Escape to emulate the scrub.
Yeah, fair point.
So, yeah, but it doesn't. Command Q will close a web page, I believe. And Command W will close a web page, but Command Q doesn't close the app. So, you know, there's some inconsistent.
That's
there.
Apple for you anyway. Again, thank you for that, Alan. That's a great tip.
Brilliant.
Have we got any more emails?
Yeah, just one before we go. Here's one from Will. Listening to one of your previous episodes, and in particular, Stephen talking about songs being removed from Spotify. I seem to remember this being a problem in the early days, but for years now, I haven't found it to be an issue. What is an issue, however, is Netflix. Netflix had every season of a show called Grimm, only the last three were audio described until last year. I don't know if this is still true, but three of their own shows appear to be not available with audio description, which are Ragnarok, Always a Witch, and Vampires. But it was a few weeks ago that I checked. Now, this made me think about cancelling Netflix, but as yet I haven't done so. The only reason for not doing so is that Netflix is cheaper than buying a stack of Blu-rays. And then I have a stack of Blu-rays where I need to put somewhere. When it comes to music, though... Why not just buy the digital versions? I think Amazon will still let you buy and download the music in MP3 format. So that's from Will.
Thank you, Will. That's an interesting one. I don't know what I think about this, to be honest. I mean, because Netflix is always put forward, and by me, as the best when it comes to audio-described content on a streaming platform. The amount of content they do have is impressive. But as I said last week, I have found recently that some shows and some movies that I thought would have audio description didn't. Now, that's not to say that audio description won't suddenly appear later on, but still, it is so frustrating. And this always comes back to this when it comes to audio description. It's just so frustrating that we're still pushing for shows to have it. You know, Breaking Bad is something I desperately want to watch with audio description. And how old is that show now? You know, it's such a ridiculous situation to be in. So, yeah, Netflix is great, but it could do better. There's no denying it.
And I will say, in the defense of saying the music and buying them in MP3 format, the issue that I raised in the show a couple of weeks ago of albums disappearing because newer versions of albums have come out is still the same problem whether you're listening on Spotify or whether you're buying the MP3 format. If you're getting the best of the Smiths or whatever, and you bought that album 6-7 years ago, and now there's a remastered version, you'll obviously find that the album that you have suddenly disappears, and then the new one kicks in because it's remastered. So if you're listening via the device, unless you've obviously physically downloaded it to your own computer, in which case the copy's yours and forever. But if you're buying the MP3 and using the Amazon player, yeah, it might disappear and suddenly, oh no, I've got to spend another £10-15 on buying the remastered version. This is a problem, and I know that there are many people out there that write into message boards and say, this isn't right, this should be fixed. So yeah, hopefully this gets looked at in the future.
So I guess what we're saying is that we don't want music to auto-update, but we do want un-audio-described Netflix films to auto-update to the AD version.
Yeah, well done. I think you're right. Yes, but look,
there was a massive pause after that.
There won't be any edit.
Look, that it is a valid point, though, that as we're moving away from terrestrial and the I'm going to say, old-fashioned forms of viewing and consuming content, it is interesting that I'm paying for Disney Plus, I'm paying for Netflix, I'm paying for Amazon Prime, and there's no guarantee that content that I enjoy on one streaming service is always going to be there. You know, they move across, especially since Disney Plus came about and took most of the Marvel stuff off Netflix. You know, it's interesting times, and we yearn to get away from the old traditional ways of watching TV, but the new ways bring their own problems as well, I think.
I have one very, very quick email I just want to squeeze in here, hopefully, if we have time.
Let's go for it.
This one's come in from Joe. Hi, folks. I enjoy listening to the podcast, but I am finding that I have to fast forward through the parts that I have no interest in. For example, Harry Potter. 8 minutes, says Joe. I'm not sure if it was 8 minutes, but so I was wondering, would it be possible to split the podcast into sections that are named so that I could only listen to the sections that I have an interest in? What Joe's saying here, he wants to cut out all the waffle. It would encourage him to continue listening to the podcast. Joe, I can say I'm looking into chaptering, and I know Stephen was looking into this as well. I don't know if it's possible. I know other podcasts do have chapters in. I don't know how accessible it is, though, to be able to skip through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, depending on what. But I'm looking into it.
Perfect.
I would say that you can, name them, and it's very easy in most podcast apps to, you know, get that list and jump to the next one. But I'm not going to because I'm too upset.
Just name it anything with Robin in, and he can skip straight through it. Anyway, that's it. We're out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Andy, again, if people want to get in contact with us.
Yes, that email address is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can also find all that information in the podcast notes. So whatever podcast service that you use to listen to Tech Talk, if you scroll through the notes that I wrote, I know Sean doesn't because I was rather rude to him in the show notes last week, which he hasn't mentioned, which is great. But you can also go through that and pick up the email and the Twitter hashtag on that information as well.
I never miss an episode. Thank you, Robin and Andy, for helping me through again this week. And thank you for listening. And we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys.